there for the student government, good for you. We know the weather's horrible outside, and we want people to be able to get home and stuff like that, so we're actually going to kind of shorten the agenda here. We're going to go straight into Algebra 2. We'll do routine business, but we had reports and discussions, and we're going to jump right into Algebra 2. The other updates we're going to push into future meetings because we want people to be able to get home and Algebra 2 has been a hot button in the community for several months now. You know that at the last meeting, we voted to continue the curriculum on the Common Core curriculum. Following that meeting, we had some meetings with the PTAs. We do this on a regular basis with the PTA exec boards. We met with three groups specifically who spoke about Algebra 2, and that was SEPTA, JFK, and the council. And we heard a lot, and it was a very balanced and informative discussion. But it certainly got a lot of us thinking about that this was affecting a broader group of kids maybe than we were aware it was. The SEPTA concerns were very real. And it got us thinking about things that we could possibly do to help these kids out in some way. So one of the thoughts that I had thought about was we had gone with the Algebra 1 when the results were controversial. We decided on a process where we would take the Regents grades and say the Regents grade would only count if it improved the student's grade. One of my thoughts was with all these new Common Core tests, you're seeing a situation where, you know, we're flying blind. Other districts don't necessarily play by what we think are the rules in the first year or even the second year. So one of the things that I was going to throw out there to my fellow board members to discuss was a motion that for any new Regents, we only count the score and the GPA if it improves the student's GPA for the first 2 years of that course, given that you need time to build that data. Now, this is just my own personal thing. We'll discuss this on the floor because also since that time, we know the midterm grades have come out, and it was rough. Kids didn't do as well as, you know, I think we would have liked. We've been poring over that data with, amongst ourselves, with Jill, with Lorna, with Christian, with Jim, with Lori, you know, and really trying to dig in and figure out, you know, what's going on there. So rather than any formal motions, what I wanted to turn around was just open the board discussion. Let's talk about where we think we are on stuff, and then we'll take it from there with the rules in place of Robert's Rules of Order. So anyone want to jump in with thoughts on this issue?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to what I said last time. I think that there is an inherent problem. I appreciate your idea, but I think that that's something that I think we have to have all of our chairs and directors sit down and really have an earnest discussion about how that would play out and how many subject areas would be impacted. I think that we have an issue of today, and it's the algebra trig, the Common Core algebra, and I think that that's, if we could just maybe focus in, if there's no change, then to ensure that whatever we need to help the kids, we get out there and what impedes us or doesn't. But I think if we could just focus in and then spend maybe the next meeting talking about what you're saying. Future meetings, right.
And we do appreciate that we had a committee on this with the Regents grading, but you're just seeing things are happening that are affecting us from outside of ourselves, and that's on the board. That puts us in a very difficult situation sometimes when neighboring districts decide to go what we'll call rogue on us.
I would absolutely support not using the Regents exams in GPAs, but I don't know how much I'm allowed to say. I think it only solves a portion of the problem. And I, you know, we all know where I stand on this. I think it definitely solves a piece of the problem. I don't think it solves the whole problem.
choice that we're faced with, as demonstrated by our conversation last time, it's not an easy one. And I'll repeat it, something I said last time, which is that, I blame the regions for putting us in the situation at this point, but it's a dilemma that we have to address. By and large, I see this discussion addressing two issues. One is the impact of the grade on first-timers, and the other is the curriculum. The last time we talked almost exclusively about curriculum, but in conversations that we've individually have had with parents and with staff and as a board receiving information and continuing to question, I think you could separate the two. I mean, I agree with Ginger. I think having a global conversation is premature. I'd like to hear from the other chairs. But like when we addressed algebra from a few months back, having been the one to bring that idea up, I think you can, on a case-by-case basis, address concerns. And I think from the grading standpoint, that is something that I would be open to, and that I think may address the concerns of being the first-timer so that it doesn't negatively affect the first-timer. From the curriculum standpoint, I think that's a different question. It's one that we had last time. But from the grading standpoint, which is kind of what we're talking about right now, I certainly support modifying it so that the tests, to the extent that they're helping the grades, are included, and to the extent that the test scores don't, that they're excluded from the final grade. In this instance, under these circumstances, for this cohort of students.
I would agree that I would rather take it on a case-by-case basis, at least right now. But I think we have two problems. I think we have the curriculum problem, which we discussed last time, and we have the grading problem. But I would be in favor of your suggestion for the grading problem in this particular instance. But that's all we're talking about.
I agree with Debbie that there's two different issues, but this is a grading issue. And in that instance, I do agree with Gary's suggestion on a case-by-case basis, being that this is a new test to this cohort of students, that if we could look at it to this class based on the grading situation.
Now, would that just be for the regions, or would that include the midterm too? Because
however someone wants to phrase the motion, that's what we, this is really our.
Okay, I'd like the motion to include both the regents exam and the midterm. For this particular class of students, the current Algebra 2 students, the midterm and the Regents exam will only count if it helps the grade, if it positively impacts GPA.
So procedurally, okay. Jody's motion is to amend the agenda. No. Her motion is to.
I never made.
Jody's motion is to amend the agenda to add a new item under new business to be voted on during new business that says that for this cohort of students in Algebra 2 only, that both the midterm and Regents exam scores will only count towards the final grade to the extent that they help the students' grades. Otherwise, the rest of the grades are spread out evenly across the quarters, if I'm reading your mind clearly.
Who's taking the
clarification? That would mean that, just one clarification, Because if you're not using the midterm or the Regents exam, then the four quarters would count for 25%. So you are creating a cohort, within the cohort, two different structures for the grading policy. One will be 25% across the board for the four quarters, and the other would be 20-20-20-13, possibly 13-9.
There were some students who did well on the mid, so there may actually be three. There may be
right.
some that
right.
have the midterm.
I was going to say so I'm not sure what the high school would do to actually execute that. So in order to figure out if the Regents exam, helps the grade, you have to have the four quarters at 20%. Let's say the midterm is forgotten. So the midterm is 13, so you would add 20 plus 13 divided by 4 to each. Seven. The midterm is 7. Okay, so 20 plus 7 divided by 4, 21 and 3 quarters. So 21 and 3 quarters for 4 quarters, and then compare that to the Regents exam. If it doesn't work, then you revert to what? Because if the mid, you know, so we'd have three different circumstances,
yeah.
or four.
You'd have an average for four quarters. If the midterm was higher than an average, you would count it. If it wasn't higher than the average, you wouldn't. If you have an average for four quarters, if the Regents was higher, you would count it. If it didn't, you wouldn't.
Right. Okay. So you wouldn't apply the percentages. You would just simply take the four grades, count them equally, compare it to the midterm. If it's higher,
then
you would apply the midterm formula. I just want to be sure that that's what we're doing. So you take the four quarter grades and average that, compare that to the midterm. If the midterm counts is higher, you then apply the midterm formula. If the Regents exam is higher, you apply the Regents exam formula.
Okay.
If the midterm is not higher, then you increase the quarter grades percentages and count the Regents and
right.
vice versa. Do okay. we understand that that's four different circumstances? Good.
Okay, well,
I just want to make sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So you seconded it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So
all those in favor amending the agenda to have this put in new business later. Now, you could fill it. And once again, we're doing this because of weather. We will get to the other items. We appreciate that a lot of people came out. We're trying to make sure everyone gets a chance. So now we're going to go right into public participation. We really have to limit it to 3 minutes, and we're not going to reply back to you guys. We're going to have a discussion about this later. You've got your 3 minutes. Come to the mic. Let it rip. So I'll read the standard district policy. 15-10-1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. Policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process, or those of others could in some way be violated. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. The floor is open.
Susan Stewart, 36 Bluebird Lane, Plainview, New York. So from the last board meeting, you had a conversation about content and trigonometry, and you decided to stay the course with the Common Core. And I appreciate the thought process that Common Core is something that you want to go forward with and continue going on, and the children have learned it. But we've also proven that the trigonometry is missing. You agree with it, the state agrees with it, the teachers agree with it. Everyone agrees with the fact that trig is missing. I started a petition asking for you to reconsider your decision and bringing back the old curriculum. In that period, we had dismal midterm results. We've also heard from the state senator saying that the curriculum will change again probably as early as September, if not by next year. He also was quoted to say that he would suggest to districts to use the leeway that they have by the law to go back and try to make the best of everything. Again, I would like to ask, I have 221 signed votes from Plainview residents. Here, I will give them to the also comments saying that we're asking for trig to come back. Yes, it's doable to do trig in pre-calculus. That means something else from pre-calculus comes out. It's another new curriculum. It is doable. It's not advisable. We need to know unit circle, not in 2 days. We need to have the 3 weeks. It's a 40 to 60 day curriculum trigonometry. In other states that have trigonometry, it's a half year class. We want to go on to calculus. It's a college level course. You've been saying that I put my kid into algebra for calculus, not stats. Stats is different. You can't formulate your way out of statistics. It's not a formula-based math. It's a different type of math. You need to understand the unit circle, not memorize a reference chart. That needs is a puzzle. It's like a pizza pie. You pull it apart, you put it together. It's not four sessions. Let's talk about those four sessions. It is February 8th. The first session scheduled for February 22nd. I know your schedules are already booked. Our kids are booked. Again, we're talking about 4 hours. We also, with the second regions, we have 2 more weeks for teaching without having a 4-day vacation before that exam. This cohort takes their test June 1st. We have until June 17th. Again, please make a motion to bring trig back. 18 seconds.
Hi, I won't repeat what Susan said, just from hearing things around from kids. You know, I don't know numbers, I don't have a report or anything, but I know that many kids did not do well on the midterm. My son was an outlier. His midterm grade was actually pretty good. But he came into this course with 6.5 years of cum laude under his belt. And I really think that made a difference, because when it came time for him to learn exponents, he spent months on it. The algebra kids spend one day learning these rules, and they can't do it. And that's why they falter. That's why we had a review course in October for that. There's other areas like that I never knew I was giving my son the advantage I was giving him. When I did that, not everyone does that, and you shouldn't have to. But the curriculum is very difficult. In terms of grades, yeah, grades are important. I need my son learning the trig. I respectfully disagree that your plan makes any sense. I think it's academically abusive to have kids who have, you have kids in AP Global, you can clap for that, because you have kids in AP Global who now have to learn in that time frame the stuff that they need for the global regions. You have chemistry regions, you have all sorts of things going on, and now that's when you're going to burden them with all this other stuff to just throw at them? Well, this is the same kind of plan that was set forth, a couple little after-school things, we'll do something. This is even worse, okay, because this stuff is not so easily fixed. As far as, you know, what other people want to do, I've already started my own, as my son called, day one, trig captivity, okay? And it takes time, because the bottom line is, when you spend that time with trig, what happens is it becomes, you're using it. You're getting used to what these things are. Yeah, some kid could learn it and pop it out, and even if they pop it out on the regents, it doesn't mean that they know it long term. By the way, SOHCAHTOA used to be in regular algebra, and the kids used to spend a couple of weeks on it, and they would have homework, and they would have a review, and they would have a test. Well, Common Core, in their infinite wisdom, took it out. And when did we put it back in? We put it back in one of those little sessions in June, right before the regents. What do these kids remember of it? All the other cohorts had the basic things in algebra, then they had in geometry, and they built on it. Our kids just had a little bit in geometry, and I'll be very honest with you, and no offense to my son's geometry teacher, because I love her dearly, and he did amazing on those regents. When I was exploring geometry and trig, there's a whole bunch of standards, trig standards, that he never learned last year in geometry. So you might want to explore that as well. It wasn't all done. And it's from my understanding that this geometry regents in January, I haven't actually seen it myself, that it was very challenging and there was more trig on it. So that might want to be something that you want to look at and make sure that the kids walk into a test and know. I will tell you right now, there's something on that Regents that the kids here just don't learn, but my kid in Jericho that I tutor has seen every single week since the beginning of the year. So what we're doing is not complete, but we need the trig. All right, I know I went over 7 seconds. Forgive me, it took me a while to drop.
Suzalari, Team Tony Cork, Plainview. Good evening, everybody. I wanted to bring up a question that I've been struggling with for 2 or 3 years now. My daughter takes midterms and finals in math, and I never can get a hold of the test. It seems to be under lock and key that nobody can see it. Last year, I managed to go through both the chairperson, the math teacher, and Ms. Talento so that I could just see it in front of me for a half hour, and then I had to leave it there. That eliminates the possibility of me figuring out where she's failing. It's a really big problem. If she has a problem and we get back a list that says, oh, it was in division, it was in whatever formula kind of thing, that doesn't help me because I don't know if she messed it up because she doesn't understand the concept or she did some stupid multiplication thing wrong. I can't determine anything. I can't take the test to her tutor and have somebody go over it with her. This is a really big problem. Every kid in this district should be able to take their midterm and their final home. And I don't understand why they can't. Can anybody explain to me why? Okay. I like her new glasses.
Hello. Cheryl Sanborn, 1 Gilbert Lane, Plainview. I want to thank you again for bringing up this topic. We've been discussing it for almost 3 years now. I just want to first start off by commenting on something that was said at the last board meeting, which was that this cohort was using two regions as a crutch. That was greatly disappointing to me because what it tells me is that after 2.5 years, there isn't an understanding of what that burden has been. I think that was really unfair. I know, as the community knows, that nobody in this board has a child in the high school. And when you, I stand corrected then, I'm sorry, Emily. But as a community, we need to be listened to. And I'm not saying that that means that everything that we would like gets voted our way. But I really felt bad on that one. Because after all the dual test prep and backfilling in 3 weeks for the second regents and all the stress and anxiety, we have children who started out in honors that are no longer in honors that kind of really belong there. It was offensive and it was sad, and I wish it wasn't sad. But it sent a message to me that was very upsetting. It has been no gravy train, I assure you. And if that was the gravy train, I don't see where the math utopia led to. I know, thank you for trying to mitigate the damage of these midterms, but we're still left with the bigger question, which is, why did many children in this cohort run 25 to 30 points below their average? What does that say, A, either about the test, or B, about the long-term retention of the information which is coming back, and C, what in God's name do we plan to do to prepare them for two regents? I mean, I hope that the test was beyond hard, but I will tell you the night before my son, who has an A average, sat there and said, what am I going to do? I don't remember any of it. What do you do the night before a test when your child says that? I gave him an apple and said, do the best you can. So thank you for removing the grade. But as he got back, he was away on the college trip, actually, as those grades were released. And so a lot of them were together. They compiled a list. The names on that list reads like who's who in honors, who's who has an A average. There's something really wrong here that we can't dismiss when we walk out this door because we'll be revisiting it again in June. Where we won't be is back here for summer school. Where we won't be is back here in January when they're taking ACTs. So please, whatever you have to do, we have to figure, you have to go back to the old. Because there is no option. They are on a path to failure that we rely on you locally to make equitable for them, equitable with the other districts in this county. There's a lot of districts, as we know, who have gone back to the old, not because they didn't think the new was valuable, but because we haven't gotten the execution together. It's February, please. Thank you.
Kaufman, 151 Sutton Drive. On another note, I just want to report to the board about the BOCES budget. And BOCES gave me one copy of a budget. And I'm reading that to the board. I also looked at their budget. As you know, they have an adjusted budget, which is dependent on the number of students involved in various programs. And the proposed budget is $7 million. Well, first of all, the adjusted budget is $20 million more than the original budget. And the proposed budget for next year is $7 million more than the adjusted budget, for an increase of 2.1%. If you want, well, I propose to publish this through Mr. Cunningham. I'll give I can give him both the summary and the detailed spreadsheet if you want. These are my numbers. That $7 million may change slightly with BOCES final adjustments. Thank you.
Amit Naxon, 30 Broward Lane, Plainview. I'm coming here, of course, you've heard the same thing from many people, dozens of people, and about Algebra 2. But I'm a concerned senior, and I figured it may bring a different viewpoint. So I've been tutoring all these different people, and first what I thought was concerning was that last year I was tutoring these 7th and 8th graders. 7th and 8th graders shouldn't need help. When 7th and 8th graders are coming to you for help, that means that they are not prepared. They are not going to be ready for high school. And if they're failing in math then, they have no hope later in high school. They're going to need tutoring all throughout their high school careers. Now, so I also have been tutoring these sophomores for this midterm. And there was this one sophomore I tutored. I was sitting with them, and you see them struggling, and you're trying to teach them the basics. They shouldn't need help with the basics. They should know the basics, and you just be brushing up on it. And so I realized after that like I asked them what they got, and they did not do well. They failed. So I asked all these other people, and every single, I took like an unofficial survey of all these sophomores I knew, and I asked about 20 people. The first 15, 14 of them failed. Almost all of them got in the 50s, and none of them were embarrassed to admit it because they knew that everyone else got just as they did, and I thought that was discerning. And not just that, but during my midterm, in AP Calculus, I went into the midterm, and my proctor told me that our test looked very doable, yet the test that she proctored before, the Algebra 2 trig midterm, she told us that it was very undoable, that it was impossible, and I thought that scared me. I'm in an AP class. That should not be happening. Now, I know there's always, anyone who I asked who was in honors seemed to do better, but there will always be those kids who are always able to catch on and will always be able to develop the skills no matter what you throw at them. But there's a growing number of kids who are struggling, who aren't able to handle it and aren't getting the fundamentals before they're being moved on because it's being rushed too hard and too fast. Personally, I think I was always well prepared for everything that was thrown at me throughout my career in high school. The SATs, the ACTs, I always knew everything I needed to know. Now I'm seeing that these kids, without knowing trig, without knowing these other fundamentals, are struggling, and they're not going to do well on these tests, as I've been through them for the last few years. Overall GPA-wise, that's the most important. standardized tests aren't as important, and I don't think the regents are as important. I think that they have to know what they're learning, and they have to be able to achieve good scores throughout the year, proving that they do know it. And, yeah, I'll eternally be grateful that I missed the curve for Tom.
Unfortunately took the Common Core geometry, she's in geometry now, she took the Common Core algebra in eighth grade, and, you know, that score did lower her average. So I know you've been there and done that, but I'm a little concerned with going forward, because I think for all of us parents, most of us do not know the intricacies of the curriculum the way some people here do know it. And we trust you guys to make sure that if state needs them to know A, B, and C, that they are exposed to A, B, and C in such a way that they can learn it. And for me to then have to look back and try and figure out where the gaps are, I think it's an unfair burden on parents. You know, I don't know how the kids, obviously the kids this year in algebra trig had a hard time with the midterm. Trig, okay. Algebra 2, trig. Had a hard time with the midterm. And while I appreciate that, you know, they might have been at a deficit and you want to alleviate that pressure, to me the important thing is going forward, they know the material that they need to know. They're going to take SATs, they're going to move on to calculus, they're going to do so without the confidence that they need to persevere and to do what they need to do. So for me, with a child going in for next year, you know, I don't have an answer, but I'm saying that, you know, we are trusting you guys to make sure that they're prepared. And if I poll 10 of my closest friends here, I think we would all be shocked at how many of us have had to go the route of private tutors, and it has become extremely burdensome on a lot of families to have to fill in gaps that way. So while I appreciate all, I mean, I know you guys want the best for the kids, we all want the best for the kids, but I just don't understand why, you know, you don't know at this point what topics need to be taught and for them to be successful. I can't, you know. So going forward for next year, I really hope I'm not standing here. And I, you know, I don't know what to say other than good luck. And hopefully all these gaps are going to be filled in, because it really, math is the one thing that follows you. You have to know this year's math to do next year's math. It's not like global where you can ask Siri and next year you're in US and it's okay. Math is, you know, you need it for physics, you need it for the sciences, you need it for life. So I, you know, thank you for your time.
Washington Avenue. Where's the trig? We just need the trig, and we need it this year, not next year. I have been up here, I can't even say how many times I've sent, I can't even discuss how many letters. We just need trigonometry, and they need it before they start AP Physics next year. Where are we getting it from? Where's it coming from? Where's the trig? GPA is great, it's nice, but it's not enough to get through all these other standardized tests. They need the trig to get through calculus, to get through physics, to get through ACTs and SATs, SAT2s and all the other things that are coming up. This cohort doesn't have time to wait until you go into committee. So where's the trig? When are we going to get it? It's not a difficult fix. Did we talk to any teachers? Did they say this was impossible? My teacher has been telling me the entire year it's going to be fine. But I don't think it's fine. They did terrible on these midterms. My son was on the college trip, and I'll just share with you the text I got from him. He's an honor student, I was shocked. And he had been talking to all his friends on, you know, on this trip, and there was a huge group on the college trip, all honor students, who did not do well, whether they failed, whether they did way lower than their regular score. That information they still have to go back to learn it, because they all did so poorly on the midterm. We need to go back to the old curriculum. We just need it. Thank you.
Hi, Beth Nisbell, 27 Phipps Lane, Plainview. I came out tonight to support all the high school parents that I've gotten to know about the Algebra 2, but I'm very disheartened because I've come up to you before to talk about what's happening in elementary school with the elementary students. I find my third grade daughter, 8 years old, some nights we have 2 hours of homework, and 2 hours of homework, doing projects, doing math. A lot of the times the math doesn't make sense. I'm a third grade teacher. I'm trying to reteach it to her. And to hear that kids get to honors and feel that they're being failed by the system is so discouraging to a young family. I also have a student coming into kindergarten next year that I'm absolutely beside myself with some of the decisions that are being made. You have young families who are coming in, and the kids coming in second and third grade are using tutors. There's so many students in my daughter's class are using tutors. One girl in her class has a math tutor 3 times a week. And people have reached out to me on many occasions knowing I teach third grade to tutor. Unfortunately, I'm not looking for any more business. If I was, I could be a pretty wealthy lady in this community. I think what the gentleman came up to say about him being an AP student and having to work with so many people is just so eye-opening for me, and I hope it is for you too, because a lot of this to me is uncharted territory. I was hoping that the situation with math and with the curriculum would improve in the middle school and high school level, but quite frankly, it seems to me that it's going from bad to worse. And I don't think any 7 and 8 year olds should be dealing with 2 hours of homework, and I'm not talking about a student who's at risk, who's at need. I'm talking about a solid on level to high average student, again with a mother who teaches third grade for a living and knows the nuances of the math curriculum in and out and has had tremendous amounts of staff development. I think, and I've said this to you before, that the support for teachers in Plainview is lacking, and clearly if students are not doing a midterm, I don't know all the details, but if so many students did so poorly, there has to be a reason for it. And I think it's time that we try to make real changes. We have the opportunity to help just one group of students this year, and I really hope you reconsider your decision for the trigonometry students, who I have no direct invested interest in, aside from the fact that they're kids and they deserve the very best from all of us. Thank you. And thank you to Susan for working so hard to get people on board with that.
How you doing? I'm Tony Carreri, 26 Kennedy Street, Plainview, New York. Some of you here, I lived through the Dr. Brooks debacle and math back then, and some of you are here because of that. My son is now an actuary, graduated college more than a year ago, and he's getting a lot of calls to be tutor for kids that are struggling in math, and it shouldn't be that way. There's just too many. And back then, it was a new trend, and now Common Core is the new trend. We need to stop teaching to trends. If the parents are telling you that they need trig, you got to find a way to represent us. We pay the taxes, and you got to teach our kids, regardless of what the current trends are. Fundamentals are the issue, and when you pass fundamentals in mathematics, you fail. You are doing a disservice to our children.
I'm a computer science major. I know all these trends ultimately fail. We got to stop teaching to the current trends. We need to, Trig, find a way to put it in. You're here because of one of these trends. And we're looking at you saying, represent us now.
I had a conversation this weekend with my daughter's in 10th grade. I don't know if you remember the last time, but I had a conversation this weekend with a math teacher, a high school math teacher who teaches in East Wilson, whose kids go to our schools. He's got a senior and a 10th grader and a 3rd grader. And you know what the parents had to say meant a lot to me. So he said that we're going to have problems with the regents. His daughter happens to be in my daughter's class. And my daughter's doing actually pretty well, but she has a very strong math background, whatever. She's good at math. But concerned mainly for me about the trig, and he was saying we're not going to get it enough of it, and it's going to be a problem for physics. And I know you've heard all this before, and you know all this, but I'm just, you know, re-emphasizing because this math teacher stood there and told me how we're not going to be able to handle a lot of the questions on the regents this year, is his opinion. He teaches this also. And he said a lot of kids are going to end up resorting to tutors, and that's what's going to happen. And also the problems with the ACTs and SATs and all the rest. And he was just not happy. And by the way, also, they said their 3rd grader, they have to practically homeschool her because everything she learns at school is not working, and the mom is sitting with her every day for hours, apparently. And their son is very smart. Their daughter is very, very smart. So I don't know. They don't know what happened, how it changed over the years. All right. Thank you.
Morty Rosenfeld, president of PCP. I want to address my remarks. Spoken to are the people I represent who do the actual work of teaching math here. And I think a lot of the hard feelings that exist in this room, both tonight and at the previous board meeting, could have been obviated if the teachers had been taken in as partners from the get-go, which they most certainly were not. But the grading policy that you're contemplating changing existed in essentially its current form for over 40 years that I know of it. It shouldn't, on the spur of the moment, in response to pressures of varying kind, be changed without consulting the people who actually have to do the grading of the students. Now, the offices of the PCT and you have a meeting coming up on the 24th. I would implore you to hold off discussion of that issue until we've had a chance to weigh in. I will bring math teachers to that meeting, and we can have an informed discussion. Thank you.
Good evening. Very short. Stephanie Horn, 21 Elaine Place in Plainview. I am the parent of a very high-achieving student who does extremely well in math. Obviously, I'm also concerned because there is virtually no trigonometry in the curriculum, and I don't know. I think this is being overcomplicated with politics, with decisions that were made. It's very simple, okay? Just bring trig back so my child can go into AP Physics and make the school district look good, since that's, you know, that's a priority for you guys. It's a priority for us as well. It's very simple. Please stop overcomplicating it. Thank you.
address some of the things that were brought up here.
So I'm hoping that I will be able to address the where is the trig. The three courses are a sequence, so you have algebra. In fact, it's eighth grade algebra, geometry, and algebra two. And in my conversation with the state last Friday, I spoke to them about their naming the course algebra two. And that is the bottom line, that course has been misnamed. Because starting this week, I believe, or next week, we begin the trig unit in algebra two. Someone already spoke about the fact that there was trigonometry that was in geometry. So what you have is a sequence of trig topics. Now, I am not going to say that every single trig topic will be handled, but I will tell you that I am a former AP physics teacher and that I have dug deep into the algebra, the geometry, and the trigonometry, and I can assure you that there isn't a single topic that will not be covered in the three sequences that would impede any student's progress in AP physics. And also, children who take calculus will be taking calculus, and I can challenge you on that one because I know that curriculum very well. So in terms of the people saying that you're going to be impeded in terms of the AP physics or even physics and the calculus, yes, there are some topics that are not in this year's course, but they would be in the pre-calculus course. So if you are a student that's bound for calculus, you need to look at the four-year sequence, not the single year, because those topics, by the time you get to calculus, you would have done more than the current curriculum. Now, I know the board will decide, and whatever the board decides will be our direction. But I can tell you that when you look at the sequence of courses and the fact that you have just seen your last SAT that is based on the old curriculum, that the new SATs that are going to be given are based on the current curriculum. Unfortunately, the same person who introduced Common Core in New York has moved on to the SATs, and those SATs are aligned with the new curriculum. So the very same people who are in the 10th grade who are saying we're not preparing students for the new exam, the new SAT exams, you, and I'm sure nobody has explained it to you as 10th grade parents, you are the parents who will have to take the new SATs, and you will have to have assessments that are aligned to these Common Core. So yes, it's possible, and I know I hear you saying, let's go back and that's a possibility, and the board may entertain that. But in terms of those parents who are in 9th grade and in 10th grade, you are taking this curriculum that we're, because that's what the state curriculum is, and this is the curriculum that is aligned with the SATs. So that is the response in terms of the trigonometry, the SATs. So in terms of... I love that you mentioned East Williston, because that's where I came from. I hired the principal of East Williston, who has a PhD in mathematics, and I spent the weekend talking to him because I started doubting myself. I spent the weekend in email conversation with Sean Feeney, who has a PhD in mathematics, who dug deep into the curriculum as I did, and guess what? East Williston is doing this curriculum, A2, they're not doing the, for the reasons that I just explained it. And in fact, we went topic for topic to see that we were online for moving forward. So Garden City, Great Neck, Manhasset, these are people that I spoke to in terms of the mathematics. Now, are there districts that are not following the curriculum, following the A2 curriculum? Absolutely. There are 18 districts that are not doing it. But And so the board has had that information, and that they will make a decision if they wish to this for this particular year. But I wanted to cover that. The midterm exams, I don't know that I can explain the midterm exam results, except to say that when we look back at your cohort, you are in fact you know, and I have to apologize because you are the cohort that has suffered the most. I agree. When we look back at your Algebra 1 exams, believe it or not, your midterms were not as good as the Algebra 2 exam, which is not good. There's something to be said about that first cohort in terms of the midterms. I am not sure what it is in terms of, do we not know, you know, are we making it a more difficult exam? Because we don't have examples of the actual exam, so the exam is harder than, in fact, what you end up with. So, yes, the exam is very, very difficult. And we can find ways either to curve the exam or to look at not including the midterm exam. It's up to the board to give us direction on it. But when I look back and I can and I've shared this data with the board, thank you, Christian, for poring over data. That is the way the distribution fell for Algebra 1. Last year, the geometry exam was snowed out, so I don't have that backup information. But that was exactly the way the first year midterms fell. In fact, it was not as good as this year's midterm. If you can think back to when you had your algebra results, the same distribution fell. That's no excuse. That is absolutely no excuse. So those are the things I think I heard mentioned. Unit circle is one area that is not in the exam, but again, that would be covered in the first part. So unit circle, laws of sines and cosines, that's not in the topics for the June 1st exam. I'll call them June 1st and the June 17th exam. So there are specific matrices which are on the ACTs are not covered on either exam, but they never were. Matrices were never covered in the Algebra 2 trig, nor are they covered. They're pre-calculus topics. They've always been pre-calculus topics. They belong in pre-calculus. So the point is that when you look at the math curriculum, you have to look at it from a point of view of algebra, geometry, Algebra 2, and pre-calculus. Those four sequences prepare and more than prepare students for the ACTs, SATs, physics, and calculus. And that's what we offer. You cannot take one out of sequence. I can go through physics with you in detail, but I believe that I covered most of the questions. Second grade tutoring, I don't understand it. Anyone who's spending 2 hours in third grade with homework, we have said, and I know that the principal, I believe you're Stratford Road, I've seen communication from the principal directly to the parents. If you are, and with suggested time for homework, if you're spending more time than the suggested time, the parent needs to let the teacher know, because there are, I think, 15 minutes per grade level. And so 2 hours on homework is absolutely not appropriate for second grade. A half an hour with the reading, that is what would be second grade. Half an hour plus the reading. That's our recommended time. So that, you know, and no teacher, none of our teachers would give 2 hours of homework to any child. No teacher would do that. I know my teachers. They would not do that.
So in this whole discussion about the Algebra 2, we have had, Mr. Murray's here and can vouch for this, but had some discussions with the other chair people, and I think it's important that we take a look at these exams a little more closely. They are not meant to harm children, and I don't believe that these math teachers, in creating the exam for the first time, had any intent of making them more difficult or not assessing the knowledge that students had learned all along. I would like to piggyback and talk about the pacing a little bit and kids moving too quickly through topics, and that's something, again, with a new course, that unfortunately there is time that you have to try to work out that pacing, and it gets better year by year, and there's always going to be that first cohort with, unfortunately, this group of kids. But in terms of results and some of the things that have come up tonight, and
I do believe that there are outliers in these results, but when I look at averages, so test averages from quarter one, only tests, not homework and other pieces of that make up a grade, class participation, etc. The honor students as a whole, their class average compared to the midterm, just on tests to the midterm, is 1 point lower on the midterm. The Regents kids on tests to the midterm are 10 points lower, and the lab students are 8 points lower. Again, they should not be lower. They should be in line with their performance in class. But, you know, to say that there's 50 points, you know, there are students that did significantly, so there's going to be outliers in that. But in terms of taking those cohorts and taking their averages, that's the difference. I do believe that Mr. Bowen has spent a lot of time with these math teachers. I think we have gotten some mixed feedback, including from a couple weeks ago, and I would certainly welcome to sit down with the teachers and Mr. Rosenfeld and really hear from them directly. But I think people are really rolling up their sleeves and are recognize the concerns that are voiced here tonight, and no one is taking this lightly.
No, because this isn't about the grading. This is about what we're discussing here. And I know that there are certain things that I can't say because of the rules, but, oh, I can? Okay. You know, the board had made the decision to stay with the new Common Core curriculum, not how I was hoping the vote would go, but that was how the board voted. Because that decision was made, we have a lot on our plates. We have to go back and we have to review the topics that the kids clearly did not understand for the midterm. We have to cover new material, and we have to get some of those trick topics in. And I just want to make sure that since that was our decision, we make sure that, to me that seemed like a monumental task. You know, the scores on the midterms demonstrate to me that there's a lot of stuff that needs to go back and possibly need to be retaught. We've got new material to cover, and we've got trigonometry to cover, so I just want to make sure that if that is the direction that the board wants to continue to take, we need a plan. You know, when are we covering all this? And I know, you know, we probably do review after midterms all the time, but is it normally at this level? You know, kids didn't score well. A lot of stuff needs to go back. We need to cover it. So I just want to make sure that if that is the direction the board is going to continue to take, you know, and they're not going to reverse course, I'd like to see a plan of how we're going to get this done between now and the Regents on June 1st.
So do I have a motion for routine business? Emily, Ginger, hold, separation. All those in favor? All right, let's go to new business. Give me a second.
This question that you had were about midterms and finals. You asked about last year. Last year, the midterms and finals were up on the website for a short period of time. And yes. The answer sheets you had and the actual test was up on the website last year. Yes, last year it was. You didn't have the actual your daughter's test. What you had was her answer sheet, and the question was available. And any parent can come in to school and review the actual test.
I understand the point, and we'll try to address it.
And wait. Well, no, 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 wait, wait, wait. Oh, that's not a routine matter, so that, then when would I can. Okay, and I can.
Okay.
Well, no, we did the motion.
All those in favor of routine business. Can we do the four items that are already on the agenda first, and then we'll look to new items for the agenda? Okay, so 11.1 is permission to circulate two policies. Permission to circulate two policies, unmanned aerial vehicles, use on school property, and adult code of conduct. Do I have a motion? Seth? Debbie? Any comments or discussions? All those in favor? We're going to have a drone policy. Okay, did the Board of Education approve the field trips to POBJFK, to Burke Rehabilitation Hospital, and Gerson and Gerson? Ginger? Well, let me get a second. Do you want a second? Lauren, second. Discussions? Questions? Lauren?
I just have a question if anybody knows at the the Burke Rehabilitation Center. How is that a competition?
Lauren, we'll get back to you on
sure.
That. I can't speak to it right now.
Okay.
All those in favor? Additional staff development proposals for 15-16. Ginger? Seth? Discussion? All those in favor? Okay, recommendation to accept the single audit report of federal funds from RSA Abrams & Company, the district's external auditors for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2015. Debbie? Ginger? Discussion? All those in favor? Okay, we currently have an 11.5 on about grading. Are there any other new business things that we want to have added?
Yes. Apparently, Greg has clarified for me Robert's rules, and normally I wouldn't do this, but
no,
okay, yeah, you know, when we voted last meeting, you know, we didn't have data then that we have now, so I would like to make a motion to revote on the possibility of going back to the old Algebra 2 trigonometry curriculum. And abandoning Common Core.
Ginger seconded it, and now this is just a motion to put it on the agenda to have it discussed. Was this the motion to actually open it up at this point? All right, discussions.
What about the other one?
Right.
Now we have two. So which? Yeah, now we have a motion on both, one on curriculum and one on grading, right?
Okay.
Yeah, we're in new business, so can we discuss now? No.
Okay, so now we can discuss. So now we can discuss. I just want to, you know, in my opinion, there are problems with Algebra 2 Common Core, and it is nobody's fault here in POB. The state has given us, in my opinion, terrible, terrible guidance as far as this course goes. Terrible. You know, we've done the best that we can. You know, our teachers have been working tirelessly to make the kids successful. The math chair, everybody here, Jill, we're all banding together to try to make this curriculum work, and it just can't. Not our own fault again, because the state gave us terrible guidance. And I would like to see us say, until the state gives us better guidance, we need to go back to what works. We can sit here and we can try to make this work till the cows come home, you know, and it may just, it may not, at this point, I don't see how it's workable.
Well, because I share a lot of your concerns, and I've spent a lot of time in the last 2 weeks thinking about this. What I'm hearing from you right this second is next year we'll be doing the same thing and continuing that course. I'm interested in what we're doing this year, because I agree, I wish some of the passion that I were hearing tonight was getting sent upstate, because I feel like the math department, frankly, is getting whipsawed between, you know, a set of standards they're being, you know, told to impose and trying to get students ready for courses that apparently the Board of Regents didn't even consider when they imposed the standards. So I just want to clarify whether you're talking about this going forward in perpetuity.
No, okay. I'm talking about this now, because now that we've gone through it, now we see what holes need to be plugged. There's no time to plug those holes this year, in my opinion. We've got plenty of time to take care of things over the summer for next year's cohort, who won't have the choice of taking the two exams. I'm worried about this year. I don't think there's time to plug the holes.
Okay, thanks. The other thing that I just wanted to say, because I'm feeling somewhat protective of my fellow board members. We're not doing this because we're following trends. This is not Investigations 2.0. This was something imposed by the state, and we're attempting as best we can to do what's right for kids. And the same goes for, I believe Seth was misquoted. He never said anything about a crutch. And I, you know, again, there's been an awful lot of hoo-ha out there on social media about this. And yeah, I'm sorry, I'm speaking right now. And I wanted to get that out there. That being said, I feel strongly, and again, this is something that I've thought really long and hard about for the last 2 weeks, and you know, just as lots of people out there tutor and teach and do whatever and have contact with high school students, so do I, and I also have really huge concerns about what's going on in that course, and I know our teachers are struggling valiantly with this curriculum, and I have real concerns about being able to, what's going to be happening to this cohort of kids. The other big concern I have is the special needs students in the lab classes. I have huge concerns about these kids. I'm, you know, really not trying to grandstand or board splain or any of that here. It's just really from the heart what has been keeping me up at night, as I'm sure it's been worrying many of you. And the other group that I really have concerns about are the gen ed students who will be having, you know, say they're taking physics in the 12th grade versus 11th. This is a cohort, it's not the 10th grade cohort that's gotten slammed with everything, but it is a cohort that is going to be getting, under the plan that we've been looking at last week, will be getting some of those topics that are necessary for the ACT and SAT, you know, 3.0 during their senior year, which is not going to give the same opportunity for preparation. So those are very big concerns that I have, and one reason why I'm really in favor of revisiting.
I think a lot's been said tonight, but I think that if we do revert back to the algebra trig, it gives us a time now to evaluate where did we go wrong? What error areas may be in a pacing chart do we have to spend more time discussing, and how do we handle when kids don't get something, saying, well, we really can't do it because we have to be here, here, and here, and giving us a chance with our teachers to sit down, and I really welcome that, to sit down and just talk with our math chair, our teachers and stuff. If they could change anything that they did this year, how would they change it and why? And when we can start to figure out where we went awry, we'll be able to fix it. Right now, what we're doing is we're digging a deeper hole. The kids are falling behind, kids that are not real math students. And that's your Regents course. You want to take half of those kids and move them down. Some of those kids are struggling, I've said it before, since second grade. And now they have this thrown on them, and they just can't do it. So we have to look at how we're going to pace it, how is a lab going to work so students succeed. I mean, we shouldn't see the numbers of failures. This is just all about student success. And if I fail a midterm, I can only think I'm never going to pass the final. And I'm going to be sitting here taking the test again. So I would just implore my fellow board members to rethink their decision of last time. Thank you.
The fact that we're having the conversation, I think, is proof that we're taking this issue seriously and that we've put a lot of thought in, continue to ask questions, get information. So I think that's a good thing. Regardless of how this vote happens, I view the motion that's not before us, but one that was added earlier, as a separate, though related issue, and that is, you know, there are two concerns that I think that were brought up. One is about the impact of students and the grades, which is an important one, and the other is the curriculum and preparing kids for ACT, SAT, college entrance exams, providing the curriculum, and I view the first being one that is, you know, the grading is fits squarely within the grading policy issues and things that the board should continue to have and explore with recommendations from those and to continue to discuss. With regard to that, I think Mr. Rosenfeld made a good point. And so when that comes, the next motion, and I'm talking together because they're kind of related, I want to hear what everyone has to say, so I'm not going to make a motion because from a parliamentary procedure, if I made a motion to table it, that ends the discussion until that motion. But when that motion comes up, I will make a motion to table it so that we have the ability to hear feedback about it. While my gut tells me it may be something that we should consider, but I'd like to hear all feedback first, and I think that was a good point that was made. The second issue, the one that's now squarely before us, falls, I think, primarily in one that is curriculum academic-based. And it's there where, you know, we have to look to all of our educators, from central administration to our chair to the teachers, and get the feedback and rely and make a tough decision. I mean, this is, I don't know if this is a Hobson choice or this is what's called the Morton's fork, where you have to choose between two awful options. I blame, and I said this last time, I continue to blame the Regents for putting us in this position, but I view this motion as one that's more in line with an academic and instructional decision, which is where I fell last time and why I made the decision last time. I'd like to hear more of what everyone else thinks. I do want to address something that Emily brought up, and I think it makes sense to just briefly address a comment that I made last time to the extent it wasn't clear or it was misinterpreted. I had said that the Regents last December gave this cohort of students an option of taking a second exam and to use the higher of the two scores on their transcript. It's that option that may not be available to next year's, likely not be available next year's cohort. And so there is a second exam now as an option. There is, in a sense, two options, and having an option and not having an option, it's better to have those two options, two bites of the apple. And so I use the phrase a safety net, and whether that was not a crutch, but a safety net. And whether that was the right phrase or not, my point is, I think that the Board of Regents did a disservice to this cohort of students and forced districts throughout the entire state to the dilemma that we're facing and split it up. And I think if the Regents had just stuck to one, you wouldn't have had the issue. A agree, disagree, but I do. I blame the Board of Regents for it. And so by no means did the comment that I make last time, to the extent anyone understood it to be an insult to anyone, it was not. I know this cohort of students has been impacted significantly over the last few years. I made the motion of the grading policy in algebra. I'm very cognizant of the concerns of it. I don't minimize it. I don't minimize the work of the students, the teachers, and the parents in getting the curriculum and what's best for the students. But I want to be very clear that my position is, I think the grading policy is far different than a curriculum. When it comes to the curriculum base, I do think that we should rely on the recommendation of our educators as a whole.
So let me just start out by saying that I want all children to be successful in every grade. The past 2 weeks have been torturous for, I think, all our board members. I've been very upset for the past 2 weeks. Yes, I don't have a child in the high school, but I feel like I do. I feel like I wanted to be on the board to fight for all children, not just mine. So I've spoken to many parents, administrators, central administration, and I would love to speak to the teachers as well, Mr. Rosenfeld, so I'm glad you brought that up. My board members and a few students who are taking this class in particular over the past week or two and received some interesting feedback. And what was consistent from the kids was that the midterm was hard. A lot of what was on the midterm was not consistent to being what was taught. I think this is a different issue than Common Core. So I think we have two issues here. They feel that they're not getting the support they need, and therefore they're asking their parents to pay for tutors. Some parents are concerned about the content of the curriculum being absent from the new Common Core algebra course and not being prepared for college entrance exams. Yet some parents have not been very vocal at our board meetings, and I personally reached out to a couple of parents that I knew. I had an opportunity, they were happy that they, and didn't know about it because they weren't at our meetings. They had an opportunity, they were happy to know that they could have the opportunity for their children to take the Regents up to 3 times if they needed, and felt it was fair. However, they did state that for the most part, the curriculum was in fact challenging, as most Common Core driven classes are, and for this cohort of students, and they felt that it was also unfair to their teachers, who also were thrown into this for the first time. I have a couple of questions. I wanted to know what kind of staff development our teachers are being given. Is it continuous? Is there new? I'm sorry, I'm freezing. So I'm like shaking, so I apologize. I don't think I'm being nervous. I'm just like freezing. And I'm upset. I really am upset. I am concerned about what happens next year and the following years to our students. The SAT that this cohort of students will be taking is geared around the Common Core math. If the choice is to teach the old method, are we doing a disservice to this group of children and future children? I'm puzzled. I'm upset. I'm puzzled. I think, like I said, there's two different issues here. One is, why was a test that was prepared by our district and homemade so hard for our kids? I don't know if I necessarily blame Common Core for that. So that's where my headset is at right now. But what is our plan for these kids? I need to ensure that they are as well as our future year kids are receiving every opportunity to make sure that they will not be at a disadvantage. I'm concerned if we go back, they will miss out on an SAT advantage, and our teachers will be losing out on teaching new curriculum that they too helped in creating.
I agree with almost everything that's been said tonight, but I particularly agree with what Jody said, that we would have the opportunity if we went back to algebra trig this year to strengthen the curriculum for the algebra 2 for next year going forward. So I voted last time to go back to the algebra trig, and I will vote this time to go back to the algebra trig.
And I do also, I want to say, and I know that that's a separate issue and a vote or whatever for a later time, but, you know, next year when we don't have, you know, this year we've got a choice. Next year we don't. The kids will have one Regents exam. It'll be Common Core aligned, but now the teachers have seen where the biggest problems were with the standards. You know, they'll have a test to draw on. I would really like us next year to start as early as possible to get the teachers on board, go back, relook at what we've been teaching, and strengthen the curriculum so that we don't face as many issues as we did this time around, you know, when we were basically, you know, just trying to do what the state was telling us to do and you know, again, getting just terrible guidance as usual from state ed.
I completely sympathize with the parents who have kids who are caught in this every year new math situation, and there's nothing I can say that's going to make it better for you other than we've been trying our hardest to mitigate whatever we can by providing whatever supports we can to make sure we get the kids the education that they desire. This is not a trend we've elected to do. The Common Core is the law that even up till sometime, I think it was in December, we didn't even have an option of a second test or to go back. So, you know, to make it think that we're following some fancy trend in mathematics, it's not what's going on. Common Core is something very real, and it is going to follow these children, not just through high school, but into college. And that's where this country's going, whether we like it or not. And I am very concerned about making a short-term decision that ends up being, in the long run, not in these kids' best interest. And I fully understand the problems that are going on with this course. I also know the guy who wrote Common Core is the guy who's writing the SAT, which is what these kids are going to have to take. And he's also the guy influencing all the new APs as they come out with new APs and what those courses are expecting. And I really, really get concerned about that. The other thing that I'm going to be quite frankly honest with you is as far as I can tell, on even Syosset's famous Venn diagrams, so far we've learned what was essentially the old course. So the kids are struggling the way they're struggling, and that we did so poorly on a midterm that we created, me points to a much bigger problem. From what I understand, Christian, you can welcome to jump in here, that the real diversity happens later at the point we're at now between the two courses. But essentially, it, you know, that the courses are very much the same material, perhaps with different pacing. Could you speak to that?
Yeah, so there's definitely more overlap in the fall than there is in the spring. I think it's really to the level that, you know, a lot of those topics that were some of them were taught in pre-calculus, so the level that they get to with the algebra is definitely at a higher level than ever before, but that would only reinforce anything that they've done with algebra and functions for the old curriculum, like you said. The trig will start out with the unit circle, so there's definitely a lot of foundational things that are done in trig, but they will not get to the extent that the old course would get to. But the stats, there's definitely a clear split in the road between those two.
Christian, while you're here, if the board decides to revert back to the old, talk to me operationally, logistically, about the switch back, the difficulty level or not so difficult level. I don't know if there's a conversation that you've had with the teachers. And talk to me logistically, February 8th today, you know, like, do you just turn on a switch and grab the old curriculum? I don't really know, so that's why I'm asking.
We'll definitely have the old curriculum there. But they'll wrap up their unit. I think most of them will probably by Thursday or Friday will finish up the exponents that we're working on. But we'd have to make a plan for the, you know, let's say 77 days of instruction, actually minus this week, so 72 days of instruction, what that will look like every single day. And then we'll have to also fit in all the topics that we're not covering. So it will be all the trig, algebra, statistics, permutations, and then anything from the fall that was related to algebra functions that we didn't get to before. So there would definitely be some planning, and you know, it would be release time with the teachers and get them all on board and problem solve. You know, but that would also be a tight timeline.
And if they're released, then they're not teaching, which the kids need the teaching time, but that's so if you're going to have them recalculate everything and miss a day or two of teaching, then that means the kids get further behind on what they've got to make up. So The one thing that I have gotten feedback from is that there is, this isn't this inch deep, mile wide thing. They are learning these topics deeper and in a more meaningful way than was covered in the past. And that, to me, is why I stood for what I did last time when I voted, and unless something's changed, do you still feel that, that's what they're getting, a deeper exposure to the topic?
Definitely. I mean, from some of the conversations with the teachers recently, there's a lot of overlap between what they're doing with exponential growth and decay and half-life that they're doing in chemistry. We were looking at some sample questions that students did with exponents, and they were able to manipulate logs that they've never ever, that's always been a difficult concept, and this is a lab student. And we looked at a bunch of their results from the midterm, and they were able to actually manipulate using multiple logs, not just one. That's never even been done in the old course that way. So there are some high points.
I just want to add, I want to just discuss one of the points that you had made, Gary, about, you know, Common Core is not going anywhere, and these kids are going to have to deal with this through college. And I agree with that, but this weekend when we sat in front of Senator Marcelino and we talked about the, you know, the recommendations of the Common Core Task Force, we were assured that the recommendations, which included a grade-by-grade level review of the standards, was going to be conducted and, quote, meaningful changes would be made. This course in particular, they've heard more about than anything else. And parents have been very specific, not only at our legislative breakfast, but there was an even bigger one out in Longwood the same morning, and numerous parents brought up specifically Algebra 2. So I'm guessing here, but I would venture to bet that that course is the one where we're going to see the most change in the standards. And the Common Core version of Algebra 2, 2 years from now, will look very different from the one that's being taught today.
On the motion to go back to the old Algebra 2 trick, all those in favor? All those against? 4-3, we're going back. Do I have a motion? Everyone, it's cold. We all want to go home. Oh. Motion, when we can motion to the table till after we talk to the teachers? We're going to talk to the PCT, take Mr. Roosevelt up on his offer, and we'll address the grading issue at a future meeting. Motion to go into exec for matter of personnel. Debbie? Ginger? All those in favor? Good night.